We're going across the country asking one big question about every NFL quarterback room. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Pearl, we've dove into Jalen Hurts, excuse me. Hi, good morning.
Jalen Hurts, top 10 quarterback.
Is he a top 10 quarterback? Is he an elite quarterback?
Yes.
We asked a question about whether or not Jackson Dart will actually be the starter this year for the New York Giants. So now
like this?
We get to the Washington Commanders quarterback room.
It's great for the NFL that you have great quarterback play.
Finding the right quarterback can change your franchise forever.
Can you throw it like a quarterback third in a lot?
32 teams, each with just one signal caller.
It's my quarterback.
Maggie and Perloff answer one big question about the quarterback.
The Commanders.
EJ's going to ask the question. We're going to answer it. So, EJ, what's the question about Jaden Daniels and the Commanders?
So, Jaden Daniels coming off an Offensive Rookie of the Year campaign, coming into year two, a lot of expectations. Will Jaden Daniels be an MVP candidate this season?
I'll start it off.
You want to take it?
Absolutely. He is the man. Now, he did all that last year without a full offseason because he was a rookie. He's got another year. They somehow kept Cliff Kingsbury. So he's going to master this offense and basically not exactly the same pieces, but he's got a lot of veteran pieces. The Commanders have kind of remained a little old, which is, I think, is a good thing for them. And they added on their offensive line. I see no reason for any kind of sophomore slump. And I just have full faith in him as a quarterback. I think he's amazing. Wow, Jaden Daniels. Yeah. You know what I love about him is just his calm, like his cool. He's got that... I'll compare him to Eli Manning, super poised, especially in the fourth quarter. He scares me as an Eagles fan. Man, he is going to win a lot of football games. Look at that. Also, what did they added? Laremy Tunsil is getting a lot of hype as the number one addition in the offseason for any team. So I think the Commanders are in good shape and kind of in win-now mode. Not, they could have gotten younger this year. They're really old, but I think they have an opportunity here.
Okay, I'm not going to put Jaden Daniels in my MVP conversation for next year. I love Jaden Daniels, but this is not all about him. It's also about circumstances. If you are going to be in the MVP conversation, you have to win a ton of games. They won 12 games last year, but 7 of them one score, many of them in very dramatic fashion. Like, obviously, the Hail Mary against the Bears come to mind, which derailed the Bears season and catapulted the Commanders season. So, I don't know if there is a regression to the mean. Are you going to be able to win all those one score games when your team is, you know, the kind way to say it is veteran, the realistic way to say it is getting old. And sometimes when a team is relying on that many older players on the wrong side of 30, it kind of happens slow, then all at once, where guys were awesome maybe in their year 33 season, but then what's their year 34 season? You know, it can be pretty dramatic at certain spots. So, I don't know if the Commanders are going to win enough games to keep Jaden Daniels in that MVP conversation. So that would be number one. Number two, all the reasons why sophomore slumps happen. And it's because defenses get a better grip on who you are. You know, now all your division rivals have faced you twice, you know, or three times if you want to talk about the Eagles because they met again in the playoffs. There's, you know, all the intel on you that gets used against you. Let's not forget, I don't know if it's going to get done or not done. I hope it gets done. Terry McLaurin is also a no-show at training camp. He's not messing around. And I think they really need Terry McLaurin because who else did they bring in? Debo Samuel? All right. Is Debo going to be one of those guys who really starts to show his age this year? So I think there's a lot of things that there's a lot of reasons why you don't always go from year one to year two and it's like a magic carpet ride. I mean, C.J. Stroud had an amazing rookie year. He was not in the MVP conversation in year two, right, even though they made the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think a difference is the coaching staff. I think Houston's coaching staff obviously was running into issues last year. They fired Bobby Slowick pretty much right after the season ended. Yep. And then Tank Dell. Now, one thing that happened in Houston, Tank Dell got hurt, and that affected a lot of things. You could have injuries. I'm assuming health. That's always been, and I've kind of shared this concern with you. Jaden Daniels is still a pretty skinny dude. If he stays healthy, though.
He got banged up last year.
Yeah. He's fifth in MVP odds. I like it. I think that they're getting tired. They gave Josh Allen his last year. They've given Lamar a bunch. Mahomes doesn't put up the numbers. Joe Burrow is going to be on possibly a losing team because their defense is awful. Mm-hmm. Then I feel like JD could swoop right in. The win total, you bring up a very valid concern. I don't really see them going 13-5
or something like that.
Well, they were 12-5 last year. 11 or 12 is not out of. I mean, their win total is around 10.5. I mean, they should be pretty good. You know, I think Dan Quinn's a good. I think they have just a good coaching staff, a solid team. Health is a concern, but if they're healthy, yeah, I think they should get the double-digit wins. If Jaden Daniels goes 11-6 and throws 35 touchdowns and runs for 800 yards, that's an attractive MVP package.
888-710-4ISN. Do you think Jaden Daniels will be in the MVP conversation this upcoming season? So you can weigh in on that.
I love being in the MVP conversation. Remember a couple years ago when Carson Wentz was in the MVP conversation in Indianapolis? He was destroying the league, and then it fell apart. So being in the conversation, I think it's a wider net. I think that he definitely will be. Josh Allen's numbers were not great last year, by the way, and they handed it to him.
I think they gave it to Josh Allen last year because they realized that he was doing a lot without a lot, right? Like Stephon Diggs was gone. They didn't have that real number one receiver. You know, Khalil Shakir's nice, but, you know, that's not your number one tip, you know, it's not Jamar Chase level, you know.
And yeah, I mean, he played the full season, only threw for 3,700 yards and 28 touchdowns. I think that
Josh, how many did he rush for?
Well, how many yards did he rush for?
No, okay. How many touchdowns did he rush for? Probably 12, something like that.
Yeah, 12.
Yeah,
yeah, but those are like 1 yard touchdowns. Who cares about that?
Well, Jalen Hurts, people love the Jalen Hurts rushing touchdowns to say that he's elite, so you got to count Josh Allen's rushing touchdowns.
Mm hmm. Wait, who cares? People care about Jalen Hurts' 1 yard touchdowns? Well, you could just hand it to the running back and get that. Anyway, I'm not a huge fan of rushing touchdowns for quarterback. That stat is.
Well, how about amazing memory of the Amari Cooper pitches the ball to Josh Allen running around the outside? He stretches for the goal line and scores a touchdown in the snow. That's not just a 1 yard running back.
You don't think that these 1 yard tush pushes from Jalen Hurts and the Eagles' offense isn't causing a stir?
Well, no, but I mean, they could just as easily hand it to Saquon and he could run it in from one. That's like a 90% percentage rate, too. That's just easier.
Right, but they don't.
So, so flip side. So you're saying that that Saquon Barkley's not that valuable because he doesn't get a lot of rushing touchdowns?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you know, you're not valuing what Josh Allen does with his 1 yard rushes when that's basically the entire offense that the Eagles have.
Well, I'm just saying, like, Josh Allen could just hand the ball to a running back and get that touchdown, too. I'm not super impressed by a 1 yard touchdown. Is anybody else?
So you're not super impressed by tush pushes?
No.
All right.
I mean, yeah. Are we all super impressed by tush pushes? I'd rather have a 40 yard TD pass than a 1 yard tush push.
Sounds like the armpit of America is infatuated with those tush pushes.
We just had a huge debate about Jalen Hurts, and nobody said, well, he's elite because he does a tush push.
No, I said I think that he benefits from the tush push, and I don't think that he would be considered a top 10 quarterback if the Eagles didn't have the tush push and he was so uniquely suited for it.
Right. Yeah.
Because why are the Eagles defending it? You know, if you don't think the tush push matters for Jalen Hurts, just run QB sneak. Like, don't be worried about the NFL getting rid of it. Just run.
Well, you know, like a lot of the Eagles said that, like, you can get rid of it. We're still going to sneak at 90%. But regardless. I do think Josh Allen had a somewhat modest season last season. It's a narrative award. We all know that, right? And I do think the media loves Jaden Daniels. He's dating Juju Watkins. Factor that in.
Celebrity couple.
He's got a great smile. He shows up with his mom at weddings. Like, Jaden Daniels is a feel-good story. If he has a big statistical season, I think he's going to get a lot of praise.
Can I tell you, though, who else I think they're dying to give an MVP to?
Yeah.
Joe Burrow.
Yeah, but Burrow has a high bar. The problem is Jaden Daniels does not have, like, Burrow to top last year, it has to be incredible. I think that people expect amazing things out of Burrow and might not be as noteworthy. Because I think, again, a narrative award, if your expectation is you're going to be the first or second best quarterback in the NFL, that's a high bar. I think, like, Jaden Daniels is a new guy. Like, NBA, you know how the NBA likes to mix it up and give it to new players all the time?
Yeah, but I could also see if Lamar has another great season because they didn't give it to him last year and gave it to Allen, I could see the voters going back to Lamar Jackson.
I don't think
I can see them going to Mahomes. I can see them really loving a big year from Justin Herbert. I don't know.
Yeah, all possible. I just think that Lamar Jackson, they do not want to give him three MVPs and no Super Bowl titles. That's a bit of an odd juxtaposition. No, would you vote for him? Basically, I got to see him win in the postseason. Otherwise, I'm not handing him another MVP. I know that's harsh, but last year he was incredible, and he came in second.
Yeah, I mean, it is supposed to be a regular season award, so by the definition of it, I think he definitely applies. 888-710-4ISN. Let's get to some sports nicknames.
64 nicknames were entered, but only one will win. It's Maggie and Perloff's search for the greatest nickname in sports.
Elite Eight voting now live at Maggie and Pearl on X. Trying to find the greatest sports nickname of all time, Pearl, and believe it or not, into the Elite Eight. How about that? In the hoops and handles region.
This hurts. I do not like to see these two guys having to go against each other, Maggie.
You called it yesterday. You said this could be the championship, but it's happening in the Elite Eight.
Air Jordan?
Air Jordan, the one seed in the hoops and handles region.
I can hear his engines revving now.
Air From Jordan ready to take
field
off.
In Chicago. That's got to be a 50 by. He took off just a little inside that free throw line. One hand and double clutch it. Magic Johnson gives him a nice five underneath the basket as he got out of the way.
Air Jordan, the one versus the two seed, Magic Johnson.
On the eve of his very first game, I would not impose upon any rookie in all of professional sports to talk to you. But I want you to know that this man has a smile that lights up a television screen from here to Bangor, Maine. His name is Magic Johnson, and Magic, it's a delight to have you aboard in the NBA.
Thank you. I'm very excited to start my first game, and I think our team is ready, and it's going to be a great season for the Los Angeles Lakers.
So that's the one versus the two in the hoops and handles region. The Maggie and Perloff best nickname in sports bracket. In the legends and legacy region, Elite Eight voting also open. The number one seed is the great one, Wayne Gretzky.
Please give it up for the White Tornado, the main Wayne, the Manada from Canada, the great one himself, Wayne Gretzky.
At some point, I want to introduce somebody as the Manada from Canada. The great one, Wayne Gretzky, in the nickname bracket goes up against the three seed, the great Bambino.
It was signed by Babe Ruth! Yeah. You keep telling me that. Who is she? What? The Sultan of Swat.
The King of Crash.
The Colossus of Clout.
The Colossus of Clout.
Babe Ruth!
The Great Bambino!
Love it. So there you go. Voting again is open for you in the Elite Eight. Air Jordan versus Magic Johnson, the great one against the great Bambino. Bro, would you like some results?
Yeah.
From yesterday's Sweet 16?
I would. I know what they are, and I don't like this. I'm very disappointed that one nickname did not advance.
Okay, well, let's get to it. EJ, am I doing all of these or just the top? Okay, let's do them all. So in the Tough Guys and Enforcers region, here are results from the Sweet 16. Mean Joe Green takes out Sweetness.
Is there a better name than Mean Joe Green?
Mean Joe Green got 56% of the vote. Walter Payton got 44% of the vote.
I cannot believe Sweetness did not advance. So you're telling me Fridge Perry could win this whole thing and Walter Payton is out of it, repeating the 85 Super Bowl where Fridge Perry got a touchdown and Walter Payton did not. This is, because you know, I have a lot of friends who are gigantic Walter Payton fans.
Same this scars, is, same scabs being picked now.
This is, I mean, Mean Joe Green, that's okay.
Why it's a is one that, seed.
Yeah, I know, but why is that? How could that possibly beat Sweetness? I don't understand.
Mean Joe Green, the one seed, moves on. Also moving on, the three seed in the Tough Guys and Enforcers region, the Intimidator Dale Earnhardt takes out Smokin' Joe Frazier.
You can intimidate them and then they call you the Intimidator. Well, so be it.
So it's going to be Mean Joe Green against Dale Earnhardt Sr., the Intimidator.
That's a pretty cool matchup.
Yeah, it's awesome. Okay, let's go to the Flash and Fun region. Again, this is Sweet 16 results from yesterday, where you're right, the Fridge, Refrigerator Perry, just shellacking Beast Mode.
The Refrigerator, William Perry from the Super Bowl champion Chicago Bears.
And the sixth seed, this was Philly v. Philly, Dr. J moves on, disposing of the round mound of rebound.
Julius Dr. J. Irving and the Virginia Squires.
He's an idiot and a fool.
So that will be the Fridge against Dr. J. Gosh, we are just getting right into it here. I feel like the Fridge versus Dr. J could also be a championship level, but it's going to happen in the Elite Eight.
Yeah, I mean, these seem to work. Like Mean Joe going against the Intimidator, I don't know who's a tougher dude. Like Dale Earnhardt's mustache against Mean Joe Green. You know what's funny about Mean Joe Green, too? In NFL films, like, he was not well-liked before that commercial. Like, he was just a vicious player. They used to hit you in the helmet as hard as I could back then.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. But then again, obviously.
It sounds like a Philadelphia.
Yeah. Like, you ever seen Deacon Jones' head slap? Like, that's what we're talking about. By the way, yeah, I just don't like when you have to put the person's full name in the nickname. I don't love it. Mean Joe Green, Hammerin' Hank Aaron, Smokin' Joe Frazier. When you could just say one word and you know exactly who you're talking about, that is an iconic nickname. I think people are voting wrong.
How dare you, America?
Yeah.
The voting is open, though. You can weigh in. So go do it at Maggie and Pearl on X. You can see everything on our Instagram at Maggie and Pearl Off, and obviously our YouTube channel, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNet, and on X at Maggie Gray, where Andrew Kaplan has unearthed yet another video from back in the day.
Oh, no. Which one is this?
When I tried to do athletic things on camera once in a while for Sports Illustrated. I didn't try. I was actually like, I had to do it. And it always went poorly. He found another gem that I had forgotten about. The day that I had to get on a pair of ice skates to skate with Olympians Merrill Davis and Charlie White, the figure skaters.
How'd it go?
How do you think it went?
I don't know.
It went swimmingly.
You grew up in Binghamton. I assume Binghamton, New York. I assume you could ice skate.
Lake skating. You would not be right about that.
Pond skating.
I think I had not been on a pair of ice skates since I was 7 when I did this video. It was horrific. They were very patient, and I look like a fool.
Like Bambi.
Bambi drunk. Drunk Bambi. Yeah. Thank you, Cap. There you go. I was surprised. It seemed like my former employer kind of used to hate me. He really put me in a lot
of... Yeah, it seems like almost some hazing going on.
Yeah, and it always made the video. Like, we couldn't edit around it. There was no help in the post-production. It was just like, you suck. Here it is.
Yeah, no CGI was fixing that stance, Maggie.
How dare you? Okay, let's get back to the sports of the day. Coming up next, we are going to wrestle, no pun intended, with the complicated legacy of Hulk Hogan. We'll do that next.
All right, this NASCAR preview is sponsored by WeatherGuard Truck and Van Equipment. They're just as driven as the hardworking pros they serve. We turn to you, Manny. What do we got on the track?
Well, guys, the NASCAR Cup Series returns to one of auto racing's most popular tracks. It's the Brickyard 400 from Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and it's the final race of the in-season challenge. 32 drivers entered, only 2 remain. Ty Dillon and Ty Gibbs, the man who has the better finish, will take home the $1 million prize. Who will kiss the bricks? It's a Brickyard 400 from Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Green flag waves on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern. By the way, guys, NASCAR announced on Wednesday that they will celebrate America's and the Navy's 250th birthday with a street race at the Naval Base Coronado in San Diego next June. That ought to be fun.
That's awesome. Thank you, Manny Tires. Get to Bogish in just 1 second. We had Ramon from Indianapolis, one of our great callers, called in recently, and he called both Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones collectively just quarterback bums, which is funny at the time. But we were talking about Arch Manning and his future, and could that be in Indy? If these two quarterbacks don't work out and Indianapolis is terrible and they do have a shot at the number one pick,
yeah.
Shane Steichen's getting fired or not getting fired?
Oh, probably. But when have the Colts been terrible, though? I mean, they've taken Shane Steichen in his couple years there has had anybody a quarterback and gone 8-9. So why would they not go 8-9 again?
I don't know.
I feel like they have 8-9 written all over. They have talent all over the field. So I do not see how they could be 1-16.
Let's get to Bogish. Yeah. He's got the latest.
Guys, football might have most of our attention now that all 32 camps are up and running. But don't forget that the NBA offseason is still chugging along. Restricted free agent Jonathan Kuminga told ESPN yesterday he's in no rush to sign anything new with the Warriors. This is holding up Golden State's offseason. They're the only team that hasn't signed or traded for a player yet this summer. Kuminga's agent has reportedly been looking for a sign and trade, but no one has come close to matching the Warriors' asking price so far. Now, from that NFL, as we've been discussing this morning, the Raiders have released D-tackle Christian Wilkins and refused to pay him the remaining $35 million he's guaranteed, all of this stemming from how Wilkins is recovering, or not recovering, from an October foot injury and surgery. He has filed a grievance with the union. The Seattle Mariners have gotten little offense out of first base this season, so they're sending two pitching prospects to Arizona for Josh Naylor, who has 11 homers and an 807 OPS this season. Julio Rodriguez appreciates the help.
Really good player, you know, that can help us win ball games. And every time that I play against him, you know, I just see him locked in, you know, going about his business and, you know, cutting so many balls for us. I remember when we went to Arizona, so... I think he's a really good player, good addition for the team, and I think he's going to fit right in.
That's J-Rod on Root Sports Northwest. After hitting one of the three Mariner homers in a 4-2 win in Anaheim, Seattle now 5 games behind the Astros in the AL West since Houston lost at home to the A's last night 5-2. The trade deadline, by the way, in baseball is next Thursday. The Jays put an 11-4 thumping on the Tigers in Detroit, and the Cardinals outscored the Padres 9-7. That included 3-run homers from Wilson Contreras and Brendan Donovan in the second inning alone. The Indiana Fever say further evaluation this week revealed nothing they didn't know already about Caitlin Clark's groin injury, but she remains out indefinitely. Last night was the 13th game she has missed this season. Her teammates topped the Aces 80-70, and the Storm outscored the Sky by 25 in the second half to win 95-57. Skylar Diggins, 21 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists. Guys, back to you.
Bogus, thank
you
so much.
Sorry to scare you, Manny.
That score was scary. That final score, my goodness.
So speaking of things that were very scary yesterday but turned out not to be so bad, that would be Justin Fields. So yesterday, right around this time, maybe a little later, we got word that Justin Fields had been carted off the field at Jets training camp. First day they're throwing, right? Not even in pads. And we suspected it was something pretty bad because you're carted off, you're limping off the field.
BZ has a Jets helmet on.
And that.
That's the main reason. And, of course, EJ went into full panic mode because that's where you're used to.
He went Surrender Cobra on us in the middle of the stream.
I mean, how could you blame the guy? I mean, it's like this would have been par for the course. Aaron Rodgers tears his Achilles 4 plays into the season 2 years ago, and now this. But it turns out Fields has avoided disaster.
So I talked to our good friend of the show, Dr. Rock Positano, yesterday. He told me if it's the big toe, then the Jets would have had a major problem. It's, according to him, the most important part of a quarterback's body is a little tendon right next to the big toe. And he gave me a half-hour lecture and used words that I'd never heard of. But it was incredible. But it turns out, this was early, it turns out it was not the big toe. That's in every report. So he's got a little boo-boo, I think, is what the actual technical term.
Yeah. So you can sprain I mean, listen, you break toes.
It got stepped on, and I was wondering, did it break?
But what's the difference, right? Because I think the recovery is probably the same. Like, I've broken toes before, and basically...
No way.
Yeah, and they basically say, you just got to rest. Like, there's
Your toes are massive.
I know, it's like breaking an arm for someone else.
No, where did you break a toe? I didn't know.
When I was younger.
In the blocks with Usain Bolt.
I broke a toe once. There was like a fluke accident, and I couldn't play tennis for a while, and it was kind of a bummer. Oh, but there's nothing you can do. You can tape the toes together, and that's about it.
Wait. Maggie's acting like, yeah, of course I broke a toe. Did everyone else here break toes?
I'll tell you exactly how
fluke
I broke it.
This is getting good. We know this is good.
But she's not wrong. Like, when you break a toe, that's like a finger, too. All they really do is, like, splint it or tape it. But the Jets specifically said that it's not broken.
Yeah.
And I think the issue with the dislocation is when it dislocates, it can cut those tendons that Dr. Rock was talking about.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, Maggie, fluke accident, this could be good.
Okay, well, actually, this plays right into my gigantic feet, which has become not just a running joke, a reality of now everyone has learned this thing about me. I got big feet. So I was on an exercise bike in high school in our gym. And we were doing this really stupid thing because I'm a teenager at the time and everyone would do the same thing. You'd have all these exercise bikes and we'd get in there old school and we'd get them going really fast and then take your feet off and just let the wheel sort of spin and spin.
I knew this was going to be good.
So we're doing the racing thing, and you get the thing going really fast, the exercise bike, and then I let my feet go, but my feet are so big, I didn't realize that the pedal came back around, caught me, and put my foot right in between the pedal and the, like, bar of the exercise bike, and broke a couple
of toes. Yeah, that old scenario.
So it was painful to play tennis for a while.
But the thing
T's
about
and P's, everybody, to me.
Breaking fingers are much longer and the bones are much more important. Like, toes are this tiny little bone. I think they're
on my toes.
Yeah.
Normally, like, but they said dislocated. Here's what I worry. What if you're going to get an 85% Justin Fields and then you're going to judge it? That it's almost could be the worst case scenario where you're not going to see the full arsenal of what he can do.
I just think he's going to be 100% healthy by the time the season comes if they don't push it. Like, I know he's got to try to gel with his receivers and you want this time in training camp, but to me, it's not worth it. You just got to make sure it's 100% healed.
I don't know. I think the best news here is that, is this the beginning of the new Jets? Because it wasn't worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
is this flipping the page or whatever on their voodoo that his foot didn't fall off yesterday?
That he was able to limp off the cart? Yeah.
It was almost best case scenario from, like, the panic that people were having around here specifically from about 9 a.m. to 10:30. And all of a sudden they went, nah, no big deal. He'll be fine. Like, that's not Jets-ish.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I don't even know where these massive expectations came for Justin Fields out
of
nowhere.
Not even massive, just that he can play.
We'll have to leave the Justin Fields conversation there. Although, Perloff, I know you had 10 people who could replace Justin Fields.
Yeah, I have the list.
Am I on it? 10 people?
Oh,
10
yeah.
deep on the who's. I said trade for Shedeur Sanders, and people didn't
not
love
a bad,
that.
Not a bad idea at all.
I thought it was great.
Get Deuce McBride. Good. He used to play quarterback.
Okay, we're going to leave the Justin Fields conversation. We'll get back to it as we need to turn to what became the biggest news story of a very crowded news day, and that was the passing of Hulk Hogan at 71 years old. Kazim Famuide is not only hosts wrestling podcast for The Ringer, also does a podcast, The Ringer Wrestling Show, I should give it the proper name, and also is a contributor and host of 7 p.m. in Brooklyn, which we absolutely love.
Let's go, Knicks!
That's right.
With Carmelo Anthony, he's going to be doing this really cool event. If you're in New York at the Gramercy Theater, July 31st, it's called Summer Bash with Bret the Hitman Hart and Action Bronson, which is awesome. Kazim, thank you so much. We know it's a busy time for you. Appreciate you making a few minutes for us. How you been?
I'm great, Maggie. It's good to see you again. It's been a while since our SNY days, but it's very nice to be on this show with you guys. Probably under better circumstances.
I know, and this is a complicated one, and we'll get into Hulk Hogan's legacy and all of that in just a moment. But just from the wrestling part of it, you know, you do this partially for a living. When you're thinking back on Hulk Hogan's career, what do you think made him so special at what he was able to do and essentially elevated professional wrestling to heights it had never been before?
Well, one thing you'd have to give him his credit for is that he's largely responsible for making wrestling acceptable to the masses, right? He was probably the first ever pop wrestling star. And you could argue at some point in the 1980s, he might have been the most famous sports figure out of anybody, you know. Pro wrestling completely exploded because of him. The Rock and Wrestling era, especially that first WrestleMania when he tag teams with Mr. T against Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff and, you know, Roddy Piper on MTV. I mean, that was, you know, a massive thing. And then, obviously, if you're talking about a Mount Rushmore of professional wrestlers, he's absolutely on that list. The showmanship, the extravagance of what pro wrestling had become in the 80s, especially under Vince McMahon and WWE and the WWF back then, was largely on his back. So, you know, a lot of people who have either made a living in professional wrestling probably don't have the opportunity if it wasn't for, you know, Hulk Hogan's explosion into wrestling and WWF overall.
Kazim, are you comfortable putting him number one on the list as the most, let's use the word, significant pro wrestler of all time?
I mean, significance is probably the best word. Listen, you can make the argument that many people who have come after him have done things that are a little bit more extraordinary than he does. He definitely kicked the door open as far as wrestlers going into Hollywood, wrestlers going into politics. I mean, you could argue The Rock, John Cena, Dave Bautista. A lot of these guys probably don't get that walk into the door of Hollywood if it's not for Hulk Hogan. So you can never argue his significance in professional wrestling. But obviously, that's not just his only story. You know, there's a lot more things about Hulk Hogan, especially, you know, in his personal life, that definitely makes this a little bit more difficult to talk about. It's probably a lot easier to talk about if it wasn't for these other things, but, you know, it's sort of hard to ignore.
We're talking with Kazim Famuyide, who has the Ringer Wrestling Show. We're going to talk about more things than just Hulk Hogan, but obviously there's a massive story yesterday, and what Kazim's alluding to is the leaked tapes that show and had Hulk Hogan, you know, dropping the N-word multiple times, saying racist things that he apologized for, but basically said, I'm a product of my environment when he was 61 years old. People didn't really accept that as a true mea culpa and apology. Kind of felt like he was explaining things away rather than just owning up to, you know, these racist things that he had said. And Kazim, you know, when and that was released in 2015, but they had happened in 2007. When Netflix and the WWE recently got in bed together, they did this huge show in LA, and they brought out Hulk Hogan. They brought out everybody, but they brought out Hulk Hogan, and the crowd there booed the bejesus out of him. Were you surprised that the hardcore WWE fans, who I think have forgiven quite a bit for people in their personal lives, that they had turned that hard on Hulk and had not really forgiven him?
Absolutely not. I was not surprised in the least bit because, like you said, wrestling fans and just fans in America of celebrity in general are largely pretty forgiving if you at least show some sort of contrition or some sort of regret over things that were said, things that were, you know, that you did to hurt people, especially the large amount of people who supported Hulk Hogan through most of his career. So, I'd say those boos were well earned. You know, it wasn't anything that anybody did to him that made people want to boo him. It wasn't a storyline. It wasn't, you know, he wasn't coming to take somebody's spot, which is what you would usually boo a guy for at that age, coming to show up on wrestling television. But those boos were well earned. It was a cumulative effort of his racist remarks, probably the things that he said politically. I mean, just. And not even that, even if you're a wrestling fan, I mean, how many stories have you heard about Hulk Hogan, you know, going into business for himself, quote unquote, or, you know, it's funny, if you talk about a pro wrestler now and you say something negative towards them or somebody who doesn't want to put over younger talent, they almost use his last name as a slur, right? They'd be like, oh, Becky Lynch, who's a wildly popular superstar. They call her Becky Hogan because she's an older star who is, quote unquote, not putting over the younger stars. Granted, they use that in jest, but that's sort of how wrestling fans have seen Hulk Hogan since 2014 and on. And again, man, like, there's a lot of fans that were truly hurt by what Hulk Hogan did, because for a lot of us, like, we didn't watch G.I. Joes, we didn't watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but we watched Macho Man Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan fight, right? So that for a lot of us, that was our first real superhero. And the difference is, he's not a cartoon or an action figure. He's a real guy. And wrestling is such this weird form of entertainment that sometimes it's hard to separate the real guy from the character. And the tirade that we heard, you know, that eventually resulted in the Gawker lawsuit and all that type of stuff, that wasn't Hulk Hogan. That was Terry talking, you know, and that's something that stuck to him to this day. And again, wrestling fans are by and large pretty forgiving about some heinous stuff. And Hulk Hogan, for whatever reason, never really seemed to really try and come to grips, at least to the fans who supported him that look like me, to really make amends for that.
Because Maggie and I had an interesting conversation actually last night. It seems like it's hard. Every case is different. Like Kobe Bryant, when he passed, how many paragraphs deep in the obituary do you talk about the bad stuff? Like, I don't know how you view. I grew up as a huge Steve Carlton fan in Philadelphia. Then I found out who he was as a person. I stopped being a fan. How do you approach sports? And I know you do a lot of basketball work too. When you find out your favorite players have something that is really bad, do you keep your fandom, or do you tend to lose it? Not just Hulk Hogan, but other athletes as well.
I'd say, man, you know, the older I get and the more, you know, nuanced the story is, I try my best to realize these are just people. People are complicated, you know, especially if you're in the public eye, as long as a lot of the people that we're talking about are, like, almost nobody has a spotless record. And I would venture to say that just tell the whole story. You know, it doesn't take away from the fact that Hulk Hogan was probably the biggest wrestling star of all time, was probably the Babe Ruth of wrestling. You can't have a Mount Rushmore without him. These are all true things. But, you know, not telling that whole story is sort of being disingenuous to his legacy. And I think it's the same thing for any sports athlete. You know, I'm a massive Kobe Bryant fan. I'm a massive fan of a lot of athletes and artists who have done or said problematic things. And, you know, it's not like I'm going to be going around, you know, waving pom-poms for them, but I'll be honest as far as like telling the entire story about who, you know, some of these people are, because at the end of the day, when you spend your money, that's a vote, and a vote is a support to somebody's success. And a lot of times you got to do your best to know that, like, hey, the money that I'm spending, or I guess in this case, the time I'm using to stream their music or stream their movies or whatever it is, that's me voting and saying, like, okay, I'm supporting this in some way, shape, or form. And I personally don't think there's anything wrong with that. I just believe in being honest when it comes to talking about a lot of these people's legacies. And you know, I do believe there's a time and place for a lot of these things. And you know, you mentioned Kobe Bryant and you mentioned a lot of people. Most of these people have at least made a concerted effort to have some contrition towards what happened. I was a big Michael Vick fan growing up, and as terrible as the thing Michael Vick did, and Michael Vick is still with us, he has clearly gone above and beyond to show that, like, he has real contrition for what he did. And I love dogs, love them, you know what I mean? Hulk Hogan, you know, as long as he lived, as many years has passed since this thing's happened, you never really got the feeling that he went above and beyond to try and make good with the people that were hurt by him. Now, that being said, I do have a, you know, I do give my condolences to a lot of people out there who are friends and family of his, because these are the people that have to sort of like carry that weight now, especially my black friends. I have plenty of black friends who Hulk Hogan was great to, who had great relationships with. Smoke Dizza, who runs Fourth Rope Wrestling with West Side Gun. My guy Ernest the Cat Miller, who just walked Goldberg out, you know, for his last match in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, they have all great stories with Hulk Hogan, and I feel bad for them that they have to sort of like deal with this just because he didn't do it while he was here, you know? So I, like I said, it doesn't take away anything from what he's done as a legend in his career, but just tell the entire story.
Kazeem, that's where we're going to have to leave it. Want to mention again, you got SummerSlam coming up. So that's going to be exciting. And you're doing Summer Bash. It's at the Gramercy Theater. Tickets are available now. Amazing. Bret the Hitman Hart and Action Bronson and Kazeem Famuyide. Kazeem, thank you so much for doing this, and excited to listen to the Ringer Wrestling Show, which, you know, you're awesome on. We didn't get any 7 p.m. in Brooklyn questions in the podcast with Carmelo Anthony. We'll do that another time. Thank you, sir.
Yes, we will. Thank you, Maggie.
Appreciate you. All right, we got to take a quick break. Coming up, a little shocking. Some stuff coming out of Bears camp that's not great. Give the details in a moment. Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. If you missed any of our interview with Kazeem Famuyide, who hosts the Ringer Wrestling Show, talking about the legacy of Hulk Hogan, who passed away yesterday at 71, Pearl, and EJ and I were just talking in the break. So you got SummerSlam is coming up because Kazeem's doing his cool event in New York before that with Bret the Hitman Hart. But you have SummerSlam, one of the tentpole events. But Hulk Hogan got booed pretty voraciously the last time he came out himself at a WWE event, which was in Los Angeles. So how do you think they handle this moving forward? Because again, Hulk Hogan, complicated legacy. Do you want to set him up to be booed by a crowd? Like, I don't know if anyone, you know, wants that.
Just to clarify, so he was getting booed because of his personal story.
Yes.
Not because he was like the bad guy wrestler.
No, there was no, it was the Netflix WWE merger, and they were kind of bringing back the legendary guys, and he really came out to just say thank you to the fans, and it created this wildly awkward moment because he stayed with the script of continuing to thank the fans as they are raining boos down on him.
So what is this? I kind of noticed the temperature on the national news was a huge celebration of Hulk Hogan yesterday.
Which is interesting to me because the racist video that got leaked that he never really owned in a true way, according to many fans, was a huge part. I mean, he got suspended from WWE right then. They took him out of the Hall of Fame. Now, they had then reinstated him, I believe, in 2018 or thereabouts. Mm. But, I mean, he was a pariah, and the WWE fans, very forgiving crowd, EJ, but would not forgive Hulk Hogan. Clearly.
No, not at all. And that was the thing that was kind of stunning, because a lot of these folks that are going to wrestling shows, they know about these wrestlers. They know about what their lives are like outside the mat. And they know some of the darkness that some of these people live with. And again, they've forgiven a lot. Like, you know, Ultimate Warrior came back, and, you know, he passed away like almost the next day, but he came back to like the most vociferous applauses and stuff. Like, you can come back from almost anything in wrestling, and Hogan was not able to, really. And I think a lot of that was because, I think Kazim made a good point, is that you never really saw a separation from the issues that he had or any real contrition for what he said. He seemed to kind of like blame it on other people, really. So wrestling fans know that stuff. And then once that happens, then the floodgates open up about other things that he did within the business that people dislike.
Right. So Jesse the Body Ventura, not to interrupt you, but in this Netflix documentary about the beginning of the WWF at the time, bro, I think you watched some of this too. Jesse the Body Ventura is talking and detailing about how they were about to unionize and this was going to be great for all the wrestlers back in the 80s. And all of a sudden, like, Vince McMahon got wind of it, that the wrestlers are about to unionize. They're going to walk out, I think, on WrestleMania 3. Now, I can't remember which one, but they were going to stage a walkout, and it would force Vince to, give them better working conditions and all the things they were asking for. And Hulk Hogan was the one who turned on everyone in the locker room, so to speak, and gave Vince McMahon the heads up that they were trying to unionize.
And everybody, like, nationwide, forget the hardcore wrestling fans. Yeah. Do you think nationwide people know this? Because again, I saw it yesterday. It was like SportsCenter broke in and said, "Sad news, Hulk Hogan." And I'm reading all these tributes that came into him. Like, there was like a lot of celebrating Hulk Hogan yesterday too.
I think people have been, because there's a nostalgia piece that hits in a place that, you know, even when if somebody does something that is, you know, horrible, reprehensible, like what Hulk Hogan was caught saying. You know, there is part of you that associates him with happier times, your childhood, you know, what he represented, all that stuff. Both things can be true, right?
Yeah, and also, you know, he also passed away, right? So then there's also a sensitivity to maybe not wanting to talk about these
family.
Things
yep.
when you have friends and family that are having, you know, so you know, there are a lot of folks who, you know, he passed away who are massive wrestling fans who just didn't post anything, just didn't respond to it. No, didn't say it. Like, and those aren't, you're not clocking that reaction as to say, oh, well, this means people hate him, but we're not even picking up on those little small things.
That's why I think SummerSlam might stay more positive, because of sort of that vibe. Like, he just passed. Maybe the time for larger reflection is later on. So I would imagine they'd stay positive, right?
You know, I don't know. This is thorny for WWE. I'm not sure how they do this. So SummerSlam is August 2nd, August 3rd. It's coming up.
Yeah, week from Saturday, and it's going to be interesting. SmackDown is going to be live tonight in Cleveland. If I was WWE, I would put all Hogan package celebration stuff today. I would not go in front of that New York crowd and expect the New York crowd to do what you want them to do. Because then at the end of the day, it's a live crowd. And I think the L.A. crowd being the crowd that he saw, I think was a big reason why he got the reaction he got.
Maybe.
The bigger cities, especially the wrestling cities, are way more unpredictable and way more willing to do kind of whatever they want to do than what maybe another city would do.
Very, very interesting. Very interesting. God, how much Hulk Hogan merch did you guys have at your house? Oh my gosh.
My NWO shirt is one of my favorite shirts.
The bed sheets, the cups and glasses we were drinking out of, the the doll, the squishy doll.